He tucked the earrings in the decorative box and dropped it all in a pocket, and suddenly was as truly poor as a pauper. He'd sold his birthright. He'd given away one of the last things he had to remember Durzo by. He'd traded a magical sword for 2 metal circles. And now he didn't have a copper to his name. 31,400 queens, and he didn't even have enough left over to buy Yuli a birthday present.
We are finished, God. From now on, you answer your own fucking prayers.
Are you and Aline going to be all right?
Kyler and Yuli were working together that evening, Yuli fetching ingredients while Kyler brewed a draft that reduced fevers.
Of course we are. Why?
Aunt Mia says it's fine you fight so much. She says that if I'm scared, I just have to listen. And if I hear the bed creaking after you fight, I know things will be all right. She says that means you've made up. But I never hear the bed creaking.
You know, that's a question you should ask Aline.
She said to ask you, and she got all embarrassed too.
I am not embarrassed. Hand me the Mayberry.
Aunt Mia says it's wrong to lie. I've seen horses mating at the castle, but Aunt Mia says it's not scary like that.
No, it's scary in its own way.
What?
Yuli, you are way too young for us to have this conversation. Yarrow root.
Aunt Mia said you might say that. She said she'd talk to me about it if you were too embarrassed. She just made me promise to ask you first.
Aunt Mia thinks about sex too much.
Ahem. I'm going to check on Mistress Watson. Do you need anything?
No.
Kyla, are you all right? You look strangely flushed.
Mia rummaged through the newly organized shelves. It seemed to take her longer than when they had been a mess, and tucked a few things in her basket. When she walked past Kyler, who was bent over the potion as if it took all of his concentration, she pinched his butt.
You're right. But don't you get any ideas. I'm too old for you.
Crazy old coot. Norrington seed.
Kyler, if things don't work out with Aline, will you marry me?
What?
I asked Aline how old you were, and she said 20. And Aunt Mia said her husband was 9 years older than her, and that's even further apart than you and me. And I love you, and you love me, and you and Aline fight all the time, but you and me never fight.
Kyla was confused at first. He and Aline hadn't fought for more than a week. Then he realized that Yuli had been spending her nights over at one of her new friends' houses, probably because Kyler and Aline's fighting had upset her so much. Now Yuli had an eager, scared look on her face that told him how he answered her could break her heart. Specifically, the first thought that popped into his head, "I don't love you like that," was not going to be a good choice.
How did I get into this? I've got to be the first father in Mid-Kiru to ever have to explain sex to his daughter while still a virgin myself.
What was he supposed to say?
I'm not actually married to Aline yet, so when we fight, we can't make up the way I'd like. In fact, if we could make up the way I'd like, we probably wouldn't fight in the first place.
Kylo couldn't wait until he actually married Aline. All their conflicts about sex would finally be behind them. What a relief. In the meantime, Yuli was staring at him, waiting, big eyes wide, uncertain. Oh, no. That looked like a lip quiver. Just then, a well-dressed man stepped inside, a house crest embroidered in the chest of his tunic. He was tall and spare, but his face was pinched, making him look like a rodent.
Is this Aunt Mia's?
Yes, it is. But I'm afraid Aunt Mia just stepped out for a while.
Oh, that's fine. You're her assistant, Kyle.
Kyla.
Ah, yes. You're younger than I expected. I've come here for your help.
Mine?
You're the man who saved Lord Evan, aren't you? He's been telling everyone who will listen that you did with one potion what a dozen physicians couldn't do with months of treatment. I am the head steward of High Lord Garazul. My lord has gout.
Kyler rubbed his jaw. He stared at the bottles lining the walls.
I can return later if you wish.
No, it won't take a minute.
Kyler started grabbing bottles and giving orders to Yuli. She was the perfect helper, quick and silent. He soon had 4 bowls mixing simultaneously, 2 overheat, 2 cold. In another 2 minutes, he was done. The steward looked utterly fascinated by the whole process. It made Kyler think that Grandmaster Halen was onto something in showing off the creation process. He knew in that moment that if he ever had a big shop, he'd set it up exactly the same way, give people a show along with their potions. It was an oddly satisfying little dream.
Here's what you need to do. Give him 2 spoonfuls of this every 4 hours. I'm guessing your master is fat. Hardly ever gets out, loves his drink.
Oh, he's got a little extra... well, yes. Fat as a leviathan, in fact. Drinks like one, too.
That potion will take care of that pain in his feet and joints. It will help the gout a little, but as long as he's fat and drinks a lot of wine, he'll never get better. He'll need to buy this same potion every time his gout flares up for the rest of his life. You tell him if he wants the gout gone, he needs to stop drinking. If he won't, which I'm betting will be the case, start putting 2 drops of this...
Kyler handed the man the second vial.
...in every glass of his wine. It will give him a terrific headache. Make sure you do it every time he takes wine. While you're at it, you can give him this each morning and night for his bad stomach. And feed him less. Give him a little of this last one with each meal. It should help him feel full sooner.
How do you know he had a bad stomach?
And take him off everything else the physicians have ordered, especially the bloodletting and the leeches. Should be a new man in 6 weeks if you make him lose weight.
But how much?
Depends on how fat he is.
No. How much do I owe you?
Kyler thought about it. He did some math of what the ingredients had cost and doubled it. He told the steward.
A bit of advice, young man. You should get a shop in the north side, because if this works, there's a lot of noble business that's going to be coming your way. And another thing, if this even helps a little, you should charge twice that. And if it actually does what you said, you should charge 10 times that. Otherwise, the nobles won't believe it's real.
Well then, you owe me 10 times what I said before.
If Lord Garazul gets better, I'll do better than that. Here's all I've got on me in the meantime.
The man tossed Kyler 2 new silver coins.
Good day, young master.
Watching the man go, Kyler was surprised how good it felt. Maybe it was better to heal than to kill. Or maybe it was just good to feel appreciated. How had Durzo done it? He'd been 12 different heroes over the ages, maybe scores of different heroes. Hadn't he ever wanted to just announce himself? Tell everyone who he was and have them show the proper awe?
Here I am. Adore me.
But Durzo had never come across like that. Kyler had grown up with him and had never had a clue that his master was the Night Angel, much less any of the other identities he'd had. Why not? Durzo had seemed arrogant in certain parts of his life. He'd certainly shown a huge disdain for most wet boys and most of the Sakage, but he'd never equated himself with the great heroes of history. The pang of loss cut Kyler again. Gods, Durzo had been dead 3 months, and despite the passage of time, it wasn't getting any better. Kyler felt the little box in his pocket.
He died so I could have Aline. Let's just get through Yuli's birthday, and then I can ask Aline to marry me. Then Yuli can hear more creaking than she's ever imagined.
Kyler, are you going to answer my question?
Ah, shit. Yuli, I know you don't feel like it. And you're certainly as smart as someone a lot older. You're still a child.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I just had my first moon blood this week. Aunt Mia says that means I'm a woman now. It really hurt, and it scared me at first. My stomach got real sore, and my back, and then...
Ah! Huh.
Kyla waved his hands, trying to make her stop.
What? Aunt Mia said there was nothing to be embarrassed about.
Aunt Mia's not your father.
Who is?
Kyla said nothing.
And who's my mother? You know, don't you? My nurses always treated me different from the other children. The last one always got scared whenever I got hurt. When I got a cut on my face once, she was so afraid it would be a scar that she didn't sleep for weeks. Sometimes a lady would watch us play in the gardens, but she always wore a cloak and a hood. Was she my mother?
It was exactly what Mama Kay would have done. She had doubtless stayed away for Yuli's safety as much as she could bear, but every once in a while, the defenses would have broken down.
She's important?
Kyler nodded again.
Why'd she leave me?
You deserve the answer to that, Yuli. But I can't tell you. It's It's one of the secrets I know that don't belong to me. I promise I'll tell you when I can.
Are you going to leave me? If we got married, I could go with you.
If anyone thought children couldn't suffer pain as deeply as adults, Kyler wished they could see Yuli's eyes now. Kyler hugged her.
I won't abandon you. Not ever.
V rode into Caer Narvan as the sun set. In her weeks on the trail, she'd decided her strategy. Surely Kyla would be known to the Sakage here. If he was at all like Hugh Gibbet, he wouldn't like to go long without killing. If he had taken any jobs, the Shinga would know him. Such a skilled wet boy wouldn't pass without notice. On the other hand, if Kyler hadn't taken any work, chances were still good that the Sakage's eyes and ears would know he had come to Caer Narvan. V had heard precious little praise for Caer Narvan Sakage, and if Kyler were truly committed to hiding himself, V would never find him. But it had been 3 months. Criminals always went back to their crimes, even if they had plenty of money, if only because they didn't know what else to do with themselves. What was a wet boy without killing? The shops were all closed. The decent families were home for the night, and the inns and brothels were just starting to roar as V passed deeper into the southern section of the city. She was wearing white fawn-skin riding pants and a loose men's tunic of cotton. Her red hair was pulled back in a simple, tight ponytail. In Sonaria, the rainy season was starting, but here the summer lingered on, and V believed in being comfortable as she traveled. Fashion be damned. She only worried about fashion when she needed something from it. Still, after 2 hard weeks in the saddle, she wouldn't mind a bath. She rode down the 4th bad street in a row, wondering why she hadn't been mugged yet. She'd concealed all her weapons to make herself look totally vulnerable. What was wrong with these people? 20 minutes later, someone finally stepped out of the shadows.
Ooh, nice night we're having, isn't it?
He was scruffy, dirty, inebriated. Perfect. He held a cudgel in one hand and a wineskin in the other.
Are you robbing me?
Half a dozen teenagers came out of the shadows and surrounded her.
Well, I don't know if I'm fucking not staring at your tits.
The man grinned, displaying 2 black front teeth.
This here's a toll road, and you're gonna have...
If you're not robbing me, get the hell out of my way. Or are you a complete idiot?
Well, I am. Robbing you, that is. Tom Gray don't get out of no bitch's way.
Tom took her black mare's reins.
I need to see the Shinga. Can you take me to him, or do I need to find someone else to mug me?
You're not going anywhere until you give me 13...
Don't forget about the rest of...
Oh, 14 silvers. And maybe a little something-something besides.
How about you take me to the Shinga, and I leave your pathetic manhood intact?
Tom's face darkened. He threw the wineskin to one of the boys and stepped toward V, raising his cudgel. He grabbed her sleeve and yanked her out of the saddle. Using the momentum of his pull, V flipped off the saddle and kicked him in the face.
Can any of the rest of you take me to the Shinga?
They all looked confused at how Tom had ended up on the other side of the street with a bloody nose. But after a moment, a scrawny young man with a big nose stepped forward.
Shinga Sniggles don't let us come up to him any old time. But Tom's friends with him.
Sniggle? That's not really his name, is it?
Oh. Tom picked himself up off the ground. He charged V.
Baru Sniggle, who are you?
She contorted her fingers into the thieves' sign.
That's a little different from ours. Where are you from?
Sonaria.
No shit. Sonarian Sakage?
Now you.
He grabbed Tom Gray by his greasy hair.
Are you going to take me to the Shinga? Or do I have to break something?
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you and the mother you rode in on! You fucking chance!
Slow learner, huh?
It's already broken!
Jamming her fingers deep into the pain points behind his ears, she lifted him to his feet. The boys cowered back, about to break and run.
Enough!
A short, squat figure walked forward.
I am the Shinga.
Baruch Sniggle.
Shinga Baruch Sniggle had a pot belly, small eyes under lank blonde hair, and a cruel mouth. He walked with a swagger despite his small size. Perhaps the hulking bodyguard by his side helped with that.
What do you want, wench?
I'm hunting. My dadder's name is Lord Kyler Stern. He's about my height, light blue eyes, dark hair, athletic, about 20 years old.
A deader? Like you're a wet boy? A wet girl?
Wasn't Carla the name of that guy who busted Tom's chops a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, I think he was staying with Aunt Mia, but he ain't no lord.
Shut up! You don't say another damn word, you got me? Tom, get your ass off the ground and bring that bitch here.
Amazing. Kyler had made it so simple. He thought he was far enough away, was confident that everyone thought he was dead. She had all she needed to know. It would be a simple matter to find him, and it would be an easy matter to kill him, too. She tingled with excitement. She still had a 2-inch scar on her shoulder from him, despite having let one of those foul witches heal her.
I think I might just have to take you back to my place. We'll find out how much of a wet girl you are.
Never heard that one before.
The bodyguard had one of her arms, and a triumphant Tom Gray had the other.
She's one hot bitch, ain't she?
Tom grabbed her breast.
Don't make me do something you'll regret.
Can I have her after you're done?
Tom squeezed her breast again, and then he petted her hair.
Don't touch my hair!
Both the bodyguard and Tom flinched at her sudden fury.
You little gutter shite! You sewer froth! You touch my hair, and I swear I'll rip you apart!
What are you gonna do about it, you useless little cunt?
Tom ripped out the leather thong that bound her hair back. Her hair fell loose around her shoulders for the first time in years.
You're tearing me apart. Start with this part, dear.
You motherfucker!
The talent arched through her so powerfully it hurt.
Die, you cocksuckers!
Her arms blasted through the men's hold on them, and her fist cracked Tom Gray's and the bodyguard's ribs simultaneously. Before Tom could double up, she grabbed his hair in one hand.
Take a good look at my tits!
She stabbed fingers at the corners of his eyes deep into the sockets and tore his eyes out. She spun, and men were running, and in her confusion and fury, she didn't even know which one to chase. He didn't know how much time passed while she vented her shame and fury on the two men. When she came to herself, her hair covered with a blood-soaked rag, she was sitting on a stoop. The Shinga and the boys had fled. There was no one on the street except for her imperturbable horse and two man-shaped lumps lying in the street. Walking unsteadily toward the horse, she passed right by what had been Tom Gray and the bodyguard. The corpses were a ruin. She'd... Nysos. She'd never even drawn a weapon, and she'd done this.
It's a simple job. The God King will forgive me for not killing Jaur. I'll be a master. I'll never have to serve Hugh Gibbet in the bed or anywhere else. Not ever again. I'll kill Kyler, and then I'm free. It's close, V, so close. You can make it.
Sister Jessie Alguaden was dead. Ariel was sure of it. The villagers hadn't seen her for 2 months, and her horse was still in the innkeeper's stable. It wasn't like Jessie, but taking risks was. Stupid girl. Sister Ariel knelt as she entered the oak grove, not to pray, but to extend her senses. This grove was as far toward the Iosian forest as the locals were willing to go. The villagers of Taurus Bend prided themselves on their practicality. They saw nothing superstitious or foolish about giving the hunter the same wide berth their ancestors had. The tales they had told her weren't wild-eyed ravings. Indeed, they were believable because of their lack of detail. Those who entered the forest didn't leave. Simple as that. So the villagers fished in the meandering Red River and collected wood right up to the edge of the grove, but there they stopped. The effect was jarring. Centuries-old oaks abutted directly on bare fields. In some places, younger oaks had been cut down, but once the trees reached a certain age, the villagers wouldn't touch them. The oak grove had been slowly expanding for centuries. She felt nothing here, nothing beyond the cool of a forest, smelled nothing except clean, damp air. When she rose and walked slowly through the low undergrowth, she kept her senses attuned, pausing frequently, stopping when she imagined she felt the slightest trembling in the air. It made for slow progress, but Ariel Wyant-Safasti was noted for her patience, even among the sisters. Besides, it was recklessness that had gotten Jesse Alguaden killed, probably. Though it was only a mile wide, it took her a long time to traverse the oak grove. Each afternoon, after marking her progress, she returned to the inn and slept and took her only meal of the day. The weight was coming off, blast it, if slowly. Each night she returned to the forest on the chance that whatever magics had been placed on the forest were affected by the time of day. On the third day, Ariel came within sight of the forest itself, and the line between the oak grove and the forest proper was stark, obviously magical. Still, she didn't hurry her progress. Instead, she moved even more slowly, more carefully. On the fifth day, her patience paid off. Ariel was 30 paces from the line between oak grove and forest when she felt the ward. She stopped so abruptly, she almost fell down. She sat, heedless of the dirt, and crossed her legs. The next hour, she spent simply touching the ward, trying to get a feel for its texture and strength, without using magic of her own. She worked long into the night, checking and double-checking and triple-checking that she was right, and that she hadn't missed anything. The weaves were simple. One simply registered whether a human had crossed the boundary. The second, slightly more complicated, marked the intruder. It was a weak weave that clung to clothing or skin and dissipated after only a few hours. Cleverly, Ezra, Ariel was making an assumption, but she thought it was a good one, had put the weave so low to the ground that it might mark the intruder's shoes, so low that it would be covered by the undergrowth. The real cunning of it, though, was the placement. How many magi had seen the obvious line 30 paces beyond this and walked right through the trap before they raised their defenses? It would be easy to circumvent the trap now that she saw it, but Sister Ariel didn't. Instead, she wrote her findings in her journal and returned to Taurus Bend. If she'd made any mistakes, she would die before she got back to the inn. It made for a tense walk. The soul soared at the thought of dismantling Ezra's ancient magic, but she didn't give in to the temptations of arrogance. The speaker's letters were getting shriller, demanding that Ariel find Jesse, that Ariel do something to help her avert the rising crisis with the chattel. Ariel kept her eyes open, hoping to find a woman who might serve her sister's purposes, but the villagers of Taurus Bend were careful to send away every child who showed the least talent. Ariel wouldn't find what Istariel needed here. So she ignored the letters. There was a time and place for haste. It wasn't here, and it wasn't now.
Viridiana Sovari?
Hearing her name made V skid to a stop in the crowded market. A dirty little man bobbed his head nervously. He extended a note toward her, but she didn't take it. He was being careful not to stand close to her, and he wasn't ogling her, so she guessed that he had an inkling of what she was. He smiled obsequiously, shot a look at her breasts, then stared stubbornly at his feet.
Who are you? No one important, miss. Just a servant of our mutual master.
V's heart turned to ice. No, it couldn't be. He extended the note again, and as soon as she took it, he disappeared into the crowd.
Mulina, we are very curious indeed how you knew Jar was going to be in Carnarvon. But that you did know tells us that you are indeed the best. We also desire that you deal with Kyler Stern. We prefer him alive. If this is not possible, we require his body and all belongings, no matter how trivial. Bring them immediately.
He closed the note. It was impossible that the God King knew where she was. Impossible that a note from him had beat her here. Impossible that Jarl could be here. Jarl, whose identity was supposed to be secret. Jarl, whom she'd been fleeing. Impossible to do what the God King asked. But the great impossibility was the only impossibility now. It was impossible to escape. V was the God King's slave. There was no way out. Somehow, Kyler had been roped into making the dinner for Yuli's birthday. Aunt Mia had said no man should be intimidated by a kitchen, and Aline had said that, compared to the potions he made, a dinner and dessert should be easy. And Yuli just giggled as they put him in a frilly lace apron and dabbed his nose with flour. So Kyla found himself with his sleeves rolled up, trying to figure out arcane cooking terms like blanching and roux and proofing.
What do I do after the jelly, weeps?
Kyler struck a pose with the spatula. The door to the smithy opened and Brayan walked in, dirty and smelly. He gave Kyler a flat look that made him lower the spatula, deflated, but he refused to wipe the flour from his nose. Brayan turned his eyes to Aline and looked her up and down.
When's dinner?
We'll bring it out to your cave when it's ready.
Aline, you ought to find yourself a real man.
You know, I know a wet boy who'd like to pay that cretin a visit.
Kyler!
I don't like the way he looks at you. Has he tried anything with you?
Kyler, not tonight, all right?
Kyler was suddenly aware of the ring box in his pocket. He nodded. Putting a serious look on his face, he attacked Yuli, flipped her upside down and draped her over his shoulder. Aunt Mia came into the kitchen.
Oh, I can't believe it. We're all out of flour and honey.
Oh, no. How am I going to make the fifth mother sauce?
Kyler set down his spatula and hunched over, extending his hands through his legs. On cue, Yuli slid headfirst down his back and grabbed his hands in time for him to pull her through his legs. She landed on her feet.
Isn't it someone's birthday?
Mine! Mine!
He pulled silver out of each of Yuli's ears. Two silvers. It was a bonus the noble had given him. It left him and Aline with nothing again. But Yuli was worth it. When he put them in Yuli's hands, her eyes got big.
For me?
Aline will help you find something good, all right?
Can we go right now?
Kyler looked at Aline, who shrugged.
We can go with Aunt Mia.
I've got to peel the peas anyway.
Yuli pranced to the door and showed Aunt Mia her coins. Aline touched Kyler's arm.
Are we going to be all right?
After tonight we are.
What do you mean?
You'll see.
Kyler didn't smile. He didn't want to give it away. If he smiled, he'd grin like a fool. He couldn't wait to see the look on her face. He couldn't wait for other things as well. He shook his head and went back to cooking. Contrary to what he'd said, the meal wasn't hard to prepare. It was just messy. He slipped off his ring and put it on the counter before he picked up the raw meat. There wasn't much romantic about smelling like dead cow. Aline and Yuli and Aunt Mia left to go out shopping. Kyla put down the spatula again and walked to the door.
What did you forget this time, Yuli?
It was Jarl. Kyla felt like the wind had been knocked out of him. He couldn't believe his eyes. But there he was, lean, athletic, impeccably dressed, as beautiful a man as you'd ever see, his dazzling white teeth showing an uncertain smile.
Hey-ho, Ezo.
How in the nine hells did you find me, Jarl?
Aren't you going to invite me in?
Please.
Kyler put some utai on and sat across from Jarl, who helped himself to a seat by the window.
There's this job.
Not interested.
So, what is it about this that you like again?
Didn't Mama K teach you tact?
I'm serious.
So am I. You show up after I tell you I'm out of the business, and the first thing you do is insult the place I live.
Logan's alive. He's in the hole.
Kylo just stared at him, uncomprehending.
Logan's alive.
The words collided with each other and shattered on the floor.
He's in the hole.
Shards sparkling with the light of truth, but the whole truth, nothing more than splinters and points too sharp to touch.
All the wet boys are working for Kalador. The resisting nobles have retreated to the Gyre estates. Several of the frontier garrisons are still manned, but we have no leader who can unite us. There's some trouble up in the Freeze that the God King is worried about, so he hasn't done anything to consolidate his power yet. He thinks that the noble families will tear each other apart. And if we don't have Logan, he's right.
Logan's alive?
The God King has our former wet boys looking for me. It's part of why I came here. I had to get out of Cenaria until we could get word out that Kage himself is protecting me.
No.
Every day, the chances that Logan will be discovered gets worse. Apparently, none of the prisoners in the hole has recognized him, but they've started throwing a lot of people down there. It might please you to know that Duke Vargen is one of them. Look at it as a little bonus. When you rescue Logan, you can kill that twist, too.
What? Jarl, Tensor isn't Tensor Vargen. Don't you see? He got himself thrown in the hole so he can do the hardest time there is. Then they produce the real Baron alive, and Tensor is released. He comes to the Sakage a month later with a grudge for his false imprisonment and all the access of a duke, and what happens?
We take him in. How could we resist?
And he destroys you because he's not Tensor Vargen. He's Tensor Ursul.
You see, Kyler? This is why I need you. Not just for your skills, for your mind. If Tensor's there right now, he's only going to wait long enough that his stay in the hole is credible, and then he'll tell his father that Logan is in there. We have to go now! Now!
The ring box was burning against Kyler's leg. He looked through the open window as Jarl spoke, seeing the city he'd hoped would be his home for the rest of his life. He loved this city, loved the hope here, loved healing and helping, loved the simple pleasure of being praised for his potions. He loved Aline. She proved to him that he could do more good by healing than by killing. It all made sense. And yet...
I can't. I'm sorry. Aline would never understand.
Don't get me wrong, Azo. Because I grew up with Aline too, and I love the girl. But why do you give a shit what she thinks?
Fuck, Jarl!
Hey, I'm just asking.
I love her.
Well, sure. Sure. That's part of it.
She's good, Jarl. I mean, like, people aren't good where we came from. Not good because it will get her something. Not good because people are watching. Just good. At first I thought she was just made that way, you know? Like, your skin is black and I'm devastatingly handsome.
Jarl raised an eyebrow. He didn't laugh.
But now I've seen that she has to work at it. She does work at it, and she's been working at it for as long as I've been working at learning to kill people.
So she's a saint. Doesn't answer my question.
Mama Kay used to say that we become the masks we wear. What's under the mask for us, Jarl? Aline knows me in a way no one else does. I've changed my name, changed my identity, left everything and everyone I've ever known. I'm all lies, Jarl. But as long as Aline knows me, maybe there is a real me. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I was wrong about you. When you got yourself killed, saving Aline and Yuli, I thought you were a hero. You're no hero. You just fucking hate yourself.
Excuse me?
You're a coward. So you've done bad stuff. Join the club. You know what? I'm glad you did. It made you something better than a saint.
A killer's better than a saint? What sort of fucked up Sakage thinking is
it that? It made you useful. Do you know what it's like in Cenaria right now? You wouldn't believe me. I didn't come here to find a killer. I came to find the killer, the Night Angel, the man who's more than just a wet boy, because the problems we have now are bigger than any wet boy could handle. There's only one man who can help us, Kyler, and that's you. Believe me, you weren't my first choice.
What's that supposed to mean?
I didn't mean...
What were you about to say?
We had to be sure, Kyler. We were very respectful. I want you to know that. It was Mama Kay's idea. He used to be immortal. We had to make sure...
You dug up my master's corpse?
We put it... him... back... just how you buried him. It was maybe a week after the invasion.
You dug him up while I was still in the city.
We couldn't tell you beforehand, and afterward there was no reason to. Mama Kay said the body would be there, that Durzo had given his immortality to you. But when she saw him... it was the scariest thing I've ever seen, Kyra. I mean, I was practically raised by the woman, and I've never seen her like that. Hysterical, weeping and screaming. Here we are, in the middle of the cloudy night. We'd paddled out to Voss Island with oars wrapped in wool, and she starts wailing out of her mind. I was so sure a patrol would come that I wanted to get off the island immediately. But she wouldn't leave until he was just how you left him.
Like Kyler cared that Durzo be left on that damned rock. If they were going to dig him up, they could have at least brought him.
Where? Home? What home did Durzo Blint ever have? How'd he look?
Shit. He looked like he'd been in the ground a week. What do you think?
Of course he did.
Damn it, Master Blint. Why'd you give me your immortality? Were you just sick of living? Why didn't you tell me anything?
But then maybe he had told him in the note he'd given Kyler. The note that had been soaked with blood. Illegible.
You want me to break into the hole and save Logan?
Do you know who the God King keeps as his concubines? Young girls from noble families. Prefers virgins. He guesses how much humiliation and debasement each girl can take. Puts them in tower rooms with balconies where all the railings have been torn off so the jump beckons every day. It's a game for him.
Get to the point.
He took Sarah and Mags Drake. Sarah killed herself in the first week. Mags is still there.
Sarah and Mags were practically Kyler's sisters. Mags had always been his pal, always quick with a laugh, always smiling. He'd been so self-absorbed since the coup that he'd barely thought of them.
I want you to rescue Logan. And then I want you to assassinate the God King.
Is that all? Let me guess. Logan first, because my odds with the God King aren't so great?
That's right. That's how I have to think, Kyler. I'm fighting a war. And people better than us are dying in it every day. And you're sitting around because of what some girl thinks.
Don't you talk about Aline.
Or what? You breathe heavily on me? You're the dumbass who swore off violence. Yes, I know about that. Let me tell you something. Roth made a lot of people miserable. I'm glad you killed him, all right? He fucked me up bad, but he doesn't hold a candle to his father. Fuck! Look at yourself. I know this hit is impossible. I'm sending you after a god. But if anyone in the world can do it, it's you. You were made for this, Kyler. Do you think you made it through all the shit you made it through so that you can sell hangover potions? Some things are bigger than your happiness, Kyler. You can give hope to an entire nation.
It'll only cost me everything.
You're an immortal. There'll be other girls.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry. I guess there will be other God Kings and other Shingas too. I just... We need you. Logan will die if you don't come. So will Mags. And so will a lot of other people you'll never know.
All right. I'll take the contract.
It's good to have you back, my friend.
It's bad to be back.
I didn't want to say it before. But have you done something to piss off the local Shinga? Because one of my sources told me the Shinga put out a contract on a Cenarian wet boy. He didn't know any details. But I don't figure there's all that many Cenarian wet boys hanging around. The longer you're here, the more you put Aline and Yuli in danger.
Durzo had taught Kyler that the best way to cancel a contract was to cancel the contract giver. For Aline and Yuli and Aunt Mia and even Brand to be saved, Baruch Schnigel had to die. Kyler stood woodenly and went upstairs. He returned a minute later with a visage as dark as the wet boy grays he wore once again. V looked at the bow in her hands, trying to convince herself to pull back the red and black arrow. She was on a rooftop looking into the midwife's home. She'd been there for an hour. Her back was to a chimney, and she'd wrapped herself in shadows. She wasn't invisible by any means, but crouched low in the dying light with the sun behind her. She was close enough. She'd come to Caer Narvon to escape this. She thought the only way to not kill Jarl and to still escape the God King's wrath was to kill Kyler. In the time she was away, Jarl would flee or be killed by another wet boy. How could he have come here? She wanted to shoot past him, shoot Kyler, and pretend that Jarl wasn't here, pretend that she'd never gotten the note. But she didn't have the shot to take Kyler down, and lies would go nowhere with the God King. Jarl sat right in front of the window. The window was even open. V was using a talent-tension bow, a bow so powerful that only a person with the talent could draw it. So the red and black traitor's arrow could have punched right through a window. Through shutters, for that matter. But she didn't even need it. Jarl sat there, utterly exposed. He never would have made such a mistake in Cenaria. But here he felt safe. He'd fled straight into death's arms. Yet she waited. Damn Jarl for his stupidity. If he didn't kill him, the God King would know. He would find her.
Damn you, Jarl. Damn you for your kindness.
Finish the job. Hugh Gibbet liked to torture his debtors first, but he only did it when he was sure he wouldn't be interrupted. Hugh Gibbet always finished the job. The perfect shot never comes. Take any shot that kills.
Motherfucker.
The curse activated her talent. V stood and drew the arrow to her cheek. It moved her out of the silhouette of the small chimney into the dying light.
Damn you, Jarl. Move!
She couldn't run away. In Gandu or Ymir, the God King would never find her, would he? She couldn't believe it. She had told no one she was coming here, left no sign, and yet he knew. If she fled, the God King would send her master after her, and Hugh Gibbet never failed. For everything that V's beauty accomplished for her, the one thing it made nearly impossible was hiding. She'd never worried about disguises. She'd never thought of it as a weakness. Until now.
Come on, Kyler. Just walk in front of the window. Just once.
She was shaking violently now. And not just from the talent burning in her. Not just from the tension of holding the bow drawn for so long. Jarl's face was drawn with compassion, sorrow. And that look she'd seen before when Jarl had taken care of her after Hugh Gibbet came in to test the new skills Mama Kay had been teaching her and found her lacking and beat her senseless and violated her in every way he could imagine. At that look, V's vision went blurry. She blinked and blinked, refusing to believe it was tears. She hadn't cried since that night, since Jarl had held her, rocking her, helping her put the fractured pieces of herself back together. Jarl stood and walked to the window. He lifted his eyes and saw V, a dark silhouette lined with sunlight. Surprise lit his eyes, and as it was followed by recognition, what other wet boy had a woman's silhouette? She could swear she saw her name on his lips. Her fingers went limp, and the bowstring slipped. The red and black traitor's arrow leapt across that narrowest of chasms, the distance between a wet boy and her debtor. It cut a red path through the air as if the night itself were bleeding.
Aline, I'm sorry.
Kyler wrote in a shaky hand.
I tried. I swear I tried. Some things are worth more than my happiness. Some things only I can do. Sell these to Master Barari and move the family to a better part of town. I will always love you.
Taking the ring box from his pocket, he placed it on top of the scrap of parchment.
What's in the box?
Kyler couldn't look back at his friend.
My heart. Just some earrings.
You are going to marry her.
A lump rose in Kyler's throat. There were no words. He had to look away from Jarl's eyes.
Have you ever heard of cruxing?
Jarl shook his head.
It's how Alatarans execute rebels. They stretch them on a wood frame and pound nails through their wrists and feet. To breathe, the criminal has to lift his weight on the nails. It sometimes takes a man a day to die, asphyxiated by his own weight.
Kylo couldn't complete the metaphor, though he could feel himself being stretched out, a rebel against fate in a malevolent universe bent on crushing all things good, stretched between Logan and Aline, nailed to each with loyalty owed and gasping under the crushing weight of his own character. But it wasn't just Aline and Logan that stretched him here. It was two lives, two paths, the way of the shadows and the way of the light, the wolf and the wolfhound. Or was it wolfhound and lapdog? Kyler had thought he could change. He'd thought he could have everything. He'd run headfirst into either or and chosen both. That was what had driven him to the crux. Not the machinations of a trickster god or the implacable roll of fortune's wheel. Kyler's options had spread further and further apart, and he'd held on until he couldn't breathe. Only one question mattered now. What kind of man am I?
Let's go.
Jarl was standing at the window, pensive.
I was in love once, or something like it, with a beautiful girl nearly as fucked up as I am.
Who was she?
Her name was Viridiana. V. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Jarl looked up and stiffened.
V?
He went down in a spray of blood, an arrow passing fully through the center of his neck. His body dropped to the wood floor like a sack of flour. He blinked once. His eyes were neither afraid nor angry. His expression was wry. Can you believe that? His eyes asked as Kyler drew him into his lap. And then Jarl's eyes said nothing at all. Yuli was clutching the very doll that Kyler had picked up a few days before. Aline smiled. Kyler was doing better at being a father than he knew.
Yes, but you run right home. Promise.
Promise!
Aline watched her go, feeling anxious, but she always felt anxious about little things. Caernarvon wasn't like the Warrens. Besides, the house was only two blocks away.
We need to talk, don't we?
It was getting late. The sun's rays slanted down on merchants who were packing up their goods and heading home.
I promised Kyla. We agreed that we'd never tell anyone, but...
Then don't say another word.
I can't. I can't do this anymore.
So Aline told Aunt Mia everything. From the lie of their marriage, to their fights about sex, to Kyler's being a wet boy and trying to leave it behind. Aunt Mia didn't even look surprised.
Aline... Do you love Kyler, or are you with him because Yuli needs a mother?
Aline paused to fully humble herself in the face of the question, to make sure what she would say was true.
I love him. Yuli is part of it, but I really love him.
Then why are you protecting yourself?
I'm not protecting...
You can't be honest with me until you're honest with yourself.
Aline looked at her hands. The light was fading, and the street was beginning to get dark.
We have to get back. Dinner must be getting cold.
Child?
He's a killer. I mean, he's killed people.
No, you were right. He's a killer.
No, he's a good man. He can change. I know it.
Child, do you know why you're talking to me, even though you promised Kyla you wouldn't? Because you agreed to something that isn't in your nature. You make a terrible liar. But you tried because you promised. Isn't that what he's done?
What do you mean?
If you can't love Kyler for the man he is, if you only love him for the man you think he could be, you'll cripple him.
Kyler had been so unhappy. When he'd started going out at night, she hadn't asked, hadn't wanted to know what he did.
What am I supposed to do?
Do you think you're the first woman who's been afraid to love?
The words cut deep. It cast a different light on their nightly making out and fighting. She thought she was being holy by not making love with Kyler, but she was just terrified. She felt so far out of control already that surrender in the bedroom would have left her powerless.
Can I love him if I hate what he does?
Child, loving is an act of faith as much as believing in the god is.
He isn't a believer. An ox and a wolf can't be yoked together.
You think a yoke only refers to wedding rings or lovemaking? You don't need to understand him, Aileen. You need to love him until you do. Come on, let's go eat our dinner.
They walked back to the house together, Aileen feeling lighter than she had in months, even if she was going to have a big talk with Kyler. She felt a new sense of hope. Aileen threw the door open, but the house was silent, empty.
Kyler! Yuli!
There was no answer. The food was cold on the counter. The jelly Kyler had been making congealed and cracked. Her heart clogged her throat. Every breath was an effort. Aunt Mia looked horrified. Aileen ran upstairs and clawed at the box of Kyler's wet boy clothes and his big sword. It was empty. There was no sign of anything. She walked back downstairs, the truth coming to her as slowly as the setting sun.
Are we going to be all right?
After tonight, we are.
Kyler's wedding ring sat next to the stove. There was no note, nothing else. Even Yuli was gone. Kyler had finally given up on her. He was gone. V slung the wiggling child off her shoulder as they came into the stable of the seedy inn where she'd put up her horse. The stable boy lay unconscious and bleeding by the door. He'd probably live. It didn't matter. He hadn't seen V before she'd clubbed him with the pommel of her short sword. V knelt and grabbed the girl's throat in one hand. She pulled out the gag.
What's your name?
Go to hell!
V slapped the girl impassively the way Hugh used to slap her when he was bored. When the girl tried to get away, she clamped her hand down on her throat, the threat explicit. The more you wiggle, the more you choke.
Fine, go to hell. You want me to call you that or something else?
You're a bitch!
V spun her into her body and clamped a hand over her mouth. With the other hand, she found a pain point in one of the girl's elbows and ground her fingers in.
Why haven't I killed her yet?
The job had gone flawlessly. Kyler had taken Jarl's body after arming himself for hunting. V had only seen brief glimpses of blades being sheathed and disappearing. Surely it was a trick of the light and the distance. Kyler couldn't really be invisible. Regardless, after a while he'd taken Jarl's body and V had gone into the house. She intended to set a few traps. There was a perfect contact poison that she could smear on the door latch of his bedroom and a needle trap that would fit perfectly in the little box he kept under the bed. But she couldn't do it. Still reeling from Jarl's murder, she walked around the house like a common prowler. V found a note and a pair of earrings that looked expensive. The note said as much, even though they were oddly mismatched, one larger than the other. She pocketed both, but didn't touch the thin gold wedding band by the stove. Let the happy little family keep its heirlooms. She wasn't sure what the note meant. Kyler had tried. Tried to protect Jarl? The door opened, surprising V, and the little girl had walked in. V bound and gagged her, then stood looking at the mess she'd got herself into. She was finished. She couldn't kill this child. She couldn't even kill Kyler. No, that wasn't true. She was sure she could still kill Kyler. The only way she could escape the God King with her life was to please him. He would be more pleased if she delivered Kyler alive. If she delivered Kyler alive, the God King would never know her weakness. She'd buy herself time to recover whatever it was that had cracked in her as she'd watched Jarl die in a spray of blood. Galvanized, V went back to Kyler's bedroom. She carved the Sonarian Sakage's glyph into the bedside table in a fine light hand. Beneath it, she traced.
I've got the girl.
When Kyler came back, he'd find his daughter gone, and he'd scour the entire house. He'd find it, and he'd follow V straight to the God King. So now, all V had to do was figure out how to smuggle a wailing child out of the city.
Let's try again. What's your name?
Yuli.
All right, Ugly. We're leaving. You can come with me alive or dead. It doesn't matter. You've served your purpose. I'm going to tie your hands to the saddle so you can jump off the horse if you want, but you'll just get kicked and dragged to death. Your choice. Open your mouth.
Yuli opened her mouth, and V stuffed the gag in.
Be silent!
Yuli's mouth moved, but no sound came out. V pulled out the rag. It wasn't necessary now. It had been a little trick she'd discovered a few years ago by accident. It was spotty, but a merely silent child would be easier to get out of the city than a gagged one. V saddled her horse and the second-best horse in the stable. In half an hour, Caernarvon was fading into the distance, but freedom was still a long way off. Cold fury burned the world white. Kylo sprinted across the rooftop. He reached the edge and leapt, soaring through the night air. He cleared the 20-foot gap easily and ran up the wall. He pushed off it, grabbed the extended roof beam, and flipped himself up onto it, not even wobbling. He'd done it all while invisible, a fact that would have pleased him immensely a few days ago. Today, he had no ability to feel pleasure at all. His eyes scanned the dark streets. Before he'd left, he'd cleaned Jarl's blood from the floor. He wasn't going to make a lean deal with that. He'd taken his friend's body to a cemetery. Jarl wouldn't rot in a sewer like some gutter shite. Kylo didn't even have the money to pay a gravedigger.
Thanks, God.
He left Jarl and swore to return. Jarl was dead. Part of Kylo didn't believe it, the part that had thought the soft life of a wagerer or a healer might be his. How could he have believed that? There was nothing soft in a Night Angel's life. Nothing. He was a killer. Death rose in his passage like mud swirling behind a stick dragged across the bottom of a clear, still pond. There. Two punks were hassling a drunk. Gods, was that the same drunk he'd left to his fate the other night? Kylo dropped from the roof. Kylo let himself shimmer into partial visibility. Muscles gleaming iridescent black, eyes black orbs, face a mask of fury. He only intended to scare the knife wielder, but as the hoodlum's eyes widened at the sight of him, Kylo swore he saw something so dark in them that it compelled him to act. Before he knew it, the punch sword was drinking Hart's blood. The hoodlum's knife dropping on the ground.
What are you doing, Tyr?
A moment later, Kylo had the mugger pinned against the wall by his throat.
What are you?
Kylo caught one of the mugger's flailing hands in his own and squeezed.
Oh shit, my hand!
Where's the Shinga? I won't repeat myself again.
You! No! Stop! Third warehouse down from Dock 3! Oh, God, what are you?
I am Retribution.
The warehouse was definitely the Shinga's place, but Baruch Sniggle wasn't there. Kylo supposed it was too much to expect. There were, however, 10 guards waiting inside the front door. Kylo stared down at them from the ceiling beams, looking for one who might know more than the others. The presence of the guards was evidence enough that Baruch Sniggle had sent the wet boy who killed Jarl. Kylo had no idea how they'd learned that he was the one who'd made Sniggle wet himself the other night, but killing the wrong man for it was exactly what this Shinga would do. Kylo dropped behind a man who looked like the leader. He broke the man's right arm and drew the man's sword. Kylo stood over the leader, the last man alive, and again allowed his eyes and face to become visible. He put one foot on the man's broken arm and touched the sword to his neck.
You're the wet boy. He said you were a girl.
Wrong. Tell me.
The Shinga said he pissed off some Cenarian wet boy. We were supposed to kill you if you came here.
Where is he?
If I tell you, will you let me live?
Yes.
The men told him of a hideout and another trap. An underground room with only one entrance, another 10 guards.
Tell them the Night Angel walks. Tell them justice is come.
Gorky's face appeared in the dim light of his torch. He looked pleased. Logan hated the man with all his heart.
Fresh meat, kiddos! Sweet, fresh meat!
Since Logan had jumped down the hole 82 days ago, They had only thrown one prisoner in the hole. Gorky had done it, and he had thrown the man into the hole. Straight into the hole. The convict's face had smacked wetly against the lip of the hole, and his body had plunged into the abyss. Now the animals and the monsters crowded around the hole, as they did when Gorky threw in bread. It wasn't to save the prisoners' lives. It was to save their meat.
All right, my lovelies. Who's first?
Keeping an eye on Finn, who was also eyeing him, Logan stayed back from the edge of the hole. He had the longest reach, but catching a falling body was different from catching falling bread. And Finn had uncoiled his sinew rope from around his body. There was a scuffle above, and a woman flung herself at the grate. Gorky tried to intercept her, but she dove under his arms. She dropped head first toward the floor, then jerked to a stop as Gorky caught her dress. She screamed and kicked as she hung directly over Logan's head. He jumped and grabbed one of her flailing arms and yanked, but his hand slipped. He dropped a few more feet forward so that she was hanging upside down, 10 feet from the stone floor. Gorky was on his knees, holding onto the girl's dress with one hand and onto the grate with the other. His head was exposed. For Finn, who practiced incessantly with his lasso, it was an easy target. Logan jumped and reached for the girl's hand again, but missed. Finn came running with the lasso in his hand. Logan jumped again and caught the girl's hand. Her dress tore and she fell on top of Logan. He was barely able to break her fall, only trying to angle her away from the abyss. Logan staggered to his feet and saw Gorky's face livid in the torchlight, still exposed, just waiting for a noose to drop around his neck, just begging to be dragged into the hole and torn apart. Turning, Logan saw Finn just feet away. The man had dropped his lasso. Logan barely had time to see the glittering steel in Finn's hand. Flesh parted along Logan's ribs and his left arm as he twisted hard to avoid the blade. Finn's hand got caught between Logan's left arm and his body as Logan twisted. Logan brought a fist toward Finn's head, but the man ducked, fell to the floor, and scurried back. Logan started to go after him, determined to kill the man while he had the chance. But as he moved forward, behind him, the holers closed on the girl. He knew what they saw when they looked at a young, half-naked woman dazed from a fall. The animals collapsed backward. The girl had picked up the knife and was standing now with her back to the wall. She braced herself to keep from falling. From the way she stood, she'd sprained her ankle in the fall.
Stay back! Stay back!
Her eyes darted from Logan to the abyss and then to Nasher. The girl was shaking. She was pretty in a fragile sort of way, with long blonde hair and fine features. She was barely dirty, though, so she couldn't have been in prison long. Long enough for Gorky, though. Damn him to the ninth circle of hell. There was fresh blood staining her torn dress between her legs.
Easy. I'm not going to hurt you. But we need to move, or they'll start falling on us.
Her eyes flashed up at the grate, and she began scooting along the circular wall. Gorky had been pulled away from the grate by the other guards. The rest of the prisoners were herded to the grate. The first man didn't want to jump in, so they pushed him. The 15-foot fall onto solid rock broke his legs, and the holers were on him in seconds. Logan had no time for it. On another day, he might have fought for meat himself, but he wouldn't feed today. Not with this girl here. Her presence made him remember better things. He wanted to weep.
Gods! Natasha Grayson!
He shouldn't have said anything, but the shock of seeing another noble was too great. At 17, Natasha was the second eldest Grayson daughter. She was his cousin. Natasha Grayson stared at him, her wide, frightened eyes taking in the tall, emaciated wreck of what had been a huge, athletic body. He was a shadow of what he had been, but though he had withered, he was still tall, unmistakably tall. He held his hands up to silence her, but he was too late.
Logan! Logan Gaia!
He felt his world ending. In all the time he'd been down here, he'd been only king or 13. In the madness of hunger, he'd eventually joined the others who stood around the hole to catch bread. With his long reach, he got more than most, at the cost of letting Gorky know that a tall blonde man was in the hole. But he'd never, never, never used his real name. Shooting a glance over his shoulder, he saw that new prisoners were still dropping in the hole, sprawling as they hit the ground. The holders were fighting. A lot of noise, a lot of confusion, a lot of distractions. Perhaps it had passed without notice. But one of the new prisoners wasn't whimpering, wasn't confused, wasn't distracted. Tensor Vargen didn't appear frightened. Despite the noise and the heat and the stink and the darkness and the violence. His head was tilted toward Logan and Natasa, his eyes squinting against the midnight dark. He looked thoughtful.